Fred Film Radio. I'm Matt Micucci from the 72nd Venice Film Festival, and I'm joined by filmmaker Arturo Ripstein and screenwriter Paz Alicia Garcia Diego, who are here presenting the film Bleak Street, La Calle de la Amargura, out of competition. The first thing that I would ask you to do is maybe if you could give us a brief summary in your own words of the story for our listeners.
Okay, the story is based on a true fact and a true story, which I read on the papers. It happened like 4 years ago, and there were two wrestlers, midgets, who, I don't know if it's the same in the States, I don't think so, but in Mexico, the regular wrestlers have a copy, who used to be a midget, dressed just like them. They are called shadows. So they both enter to the ring and fight together against the bad ones, etc. In this case, there were two midgets, wrestlers, with using the mask, who one night went and hired two prostitutes.
And the more political.
Okay, to be more politically correct, two prostitutes, and they want to rob them, and just by mistakes, they use. I learned when I hear the case with a colirio, some kind of eye drops, and they kill them just by chance, by accident. And what was incredible is the two midges were twins, identical twins. So in Mexico, the shock was they born in the same bed. They die in the same bed. And that got my attention. And then I saw the faces of the prostitutes, and they were old and very decayed. Which, by the way, was strange because they were, well, not well-to-do, but they were having a good life. They were winners, in a sense. And I saw the faces of the two prostitutes, and they were so in awe because they didn't understand what happened. The sense of bad luck, of destiny, and I always love destiny, and since that moment I think I want to do that film.
Yes.
I wanted to do that, the film.
It's fantastic, yeah. So you were destined to make this film as well as the characters.
Yes, I was destined to do the film, and I was destined to have a good luck with this film.
Yes. Let's take it step by step then. We talked about the story, but also the style in which it's brought to the screen is quite... It's quite interesting because, first of all, it's shot in black and white. And to me, that gives it a sense of timelessness and also a contrast of realism and traditionalism. But I'd like you to maybe talk about these stylistic choices.
I love the choice of words. Timelessness is perfect for it because you take away one element in photography, which is color. And you leave the essential notion of just the figures, which is like sketches in black and white, which is the beginning of everything of painting. Literature is always in black and white because that's the way you perceive it. You have a page that is white and black little characters. So the most important things in my life have always been black and white. I learned my craft by watching black and white movies. I learned it many, many years ago. Of course, there were lots of color films, but the ones that were fundamental and the ones that really opened your eyes were always in black and white. And black and white has always had a certain aura of magnificence. There's almost all of the great still photographers in the world that begin, I don't know, from the very ancient, half mid-19th century photographers to Salgado, passing with Cartier-Bresson, and so many are always black and white. Their best things are black and white. Black and white is very inspiring. It gives you amplitude.
It gives you beauty. Yeah. Absolutely beauty. During the shooting, when you see the reality, the actors outside the camera, it's okay. And then you move to the TV, to the small TV, and it suddenly captures beauty and timeless and third kind of eternity. And when Arturo points at Cartier-Bresson, the French photographer who went to Mexico and photographs prostitutes, street prostitutes, exactly in the same area where we shoot this film. And you know what? After 40, 50 years, or 60, 80, I don't know how many years, they still look the same, wear the same hair, the same, you know, very arqueadas. the makeup is the same. It's like that reality is without movement, even before the Spanish, when the Aztecs found Tenochtitlan in Mexico City, they put the first bordello, the bordellos and the prostitutes were exactly there. They haven't moved, it haven't changed, and they still are there. And that's, to me, that's something magic.
That is magic, actually, yeah. That actually makes me think that even in this film, there's sort of this thing where the realism is there and it's obvious to the point where it's almost absurd and, in my opinion, cinematic. So this contrast of realism and cinema must have been very important in the making of this film.
I never... Realism is convention, like everything else, like surrealism or everything that ends in ism is a convention. It's just it has rules and you have to practice it with the rules, but it's not true. It's not the truth. It is just naturalism is a convention, and it's not really natural. It just is aesthetically. Determined to be that. I never tried my hand at realism in the sociological sense or the anthropological sense, or of course not the political sense at all. I've always thought that if you make art, it annuls the possibilities of reality, because art is useless. It's good for absolutely nothing except understanding the world, understanding people, understanding yourself, learning how to watch, how to tell things, because reality has no structure. I mean, life outside has no structure. So you have to take away everything that is unnecessary and put it together in a more or less coordinate way to make it reasonable and to make it fluent, and that is what I always tried to do, put my hand into structure, because structure is the only possibility to understand things.
I actually am kind of regretting the term realism, because what I really kind of meant to say was human outlook, because the characters of prostitutes, or even the unusual characters of midget wrestlers, mm-hmm. but other characters that you've kind of worked with in the past, to me, there was always like this human perspective, which isn't necessarily...
That's a different thing altogether. Yeah. Yes, of course, they are concocted to be people that would be recognizable. Black and white would mean, etymologically, in the Zen vision of things, one is good and one is bad. They're contrasting. In this case, they're good and bad exactly at the same time. The midgets are not the villains. The whores are not the victims, or vice versa. They're all victims and villains of themselves. So that gives it a human perspective that I thought was important to, for the empathy of the film, for the believability of the film, the credibility, the verisimilitude, which is what one tends to do.
And then what I really wanted to do is talk about the desperate people, the poor, the forgotten people. I care about them, not in a sense that I do charities. I am not a nun, but But I care about them. I care. I think recently, at least in Latin America, we tend to speak about poor people, or peasants, I don't know how to say that in English, peasants, without human characteristic. They are just poor. They have, they don't suffer love, envy, rancor, whatever. They are just poor. No, I like the poor people to have all the virtues and the malitude, the non-virtuous characteristics of the human being. And in this case, what I wanted to do is make like a surgery inside of each of them heart. For example, the mother. The mother, of course, she's a tyrant, but she loves them deeply in a very dominant and absurd and grotesque but very lovable and from very protective way. And that's what I try to travel inside the characters.
Yes, and you do that very well. But and I have to say, absolutely amazing, and keep doing it, actually. But the last question, because I am aware that time is kind of short here, unfortunately. I will talk to you all day. The question, I don't want listeners to think that this is a depressing, sad film drama, because there is also uplifting moments in it. So the drama is sometimes even kind of makes use of a sort of sense of humor that I very much appreciate.
We tried our hand very seriously in comedy in this one. There's a lot of moments that are very comedic and funny. The problem is that sometimes audiences in a place like a very serious and important film festival in the world, don't believe that what you're telling them is funny. They have necessarily to have an attitude towards films in black and white, though that is dead serious. But no, it is naturally a funny movie, and if you let yourself go, it is funny most of the time.
Oh yes. We cannot.
It's strangely funny, no doubt about
that. But we are compelled to black humor. Yeah. Both of us are really compelled. And I, for example, one day we were watching a TV show. He was working and I was at home, and it was a TV show about a mother. Eventually, the mother killed the child, but even that was later. And
one of those.
And so they bury the poor child after it was found killed, and they make a party on top of the grave with a piñata. And I laughed myself out. And when Arturo arrived, I told him, "You have to hear that." And he told me, "I heard the piñata on top of the grave." Yeah, it's fantastic. What can you say? Well, that kind of things, love. We are all, the two of us. Yes. Loved.
I think that should go for everyday life. We should admire comedy of the everyday life too, not just in cinema. And I thank you very much for joining us. I really did enjoy the film, and best of luck with it.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Viva Elvis.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.